to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Get ready to uncover the secrets, gain valuable insights, and conquer any dental challenge that comes your way. From advanced techniques, innovative technologies, and the ever-important set skills, Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John. And I want to thank you for joining me today and sharing a few moments of your busy time with me to listen to what I have to say and what I have to share with you. I know that we're not really supposed to timestamp our podcast by giving dates, but can't help it. It's Thanksgiving week, 2023. And I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a time when we gather around with family and friends. We take a pause in life and we start to celebrate and enjoy the simplicity of the spirit of just being around people that we love and enjoy. You know, businesses at this point of the year are busy doing one of two things. They're either looking at what they need to do to accomplish the goals and objectives and the dreams for 2023, what they can do to press down on it to make sure that they come out where they felt they should and where they want to and where they need to complete their goals for 2023. And most of them also are deep in planning for 2024, setting their objectives, their goals for dentists. That's production, profitability, maybe the number of new patients that we need in order to fulfill those dreams and that vision for us for 2024. We're looking at all the supporting people, supporting companies that come in and help us accomplish that. Who do we need to realign with a little bit better? Who do we need to eliminate from that? How do we need to realign our staff? How's the culture of our practice and multitude of things that are needed to be looked at and analyzed so that we can come up with an awesome game plan for creating the 2024 that we would really love to go through day in and day out and say, job well done. So we're doing one of those things, maybe and most probably both of those two things. And you're probably giving some laser-focused intensity into those projects as you're looking at them, particularly the one to finish out 2023, because there's a degree of urgency due to the minimal time that's left. But I would challenge you to hit the pause button for just a moment, relax and take some deep breaths and just say, thank you. Be thankful for where you're at right now. Just regardless of whether you're on track for meeting your goals or not, maybe something's happened this last year and you're really behind what you need and what you wanted for your objectives for 2023. Maybe you've had some really great things happen to you and your practice and your staff and your family to where you're way out, so far ahead of what you imagined you can accomplish. And good for you if that's the case. But also good for you if that's not the case. Because you have today. You have tomorrow. You have the ability to make choices on which direction you take when you wake up tomorrow morning. You have choices about your attitude. You have choices about your mindset. You have choices as to how you choose to relate with other people. So be thankful for who you are and be thankful for those that you love and that you have around you. And do say thankful and do be thankful for the choice that you have in moving forward to do right and help others transform their lives with the powers that you have within you. Try shifting your mindset when you go into the office that you are fulfilling a calling versus going in and just doing a job. And I know sometimes for some people, when they're in a corporate environment at DSO, that is hard to look at your job as a calling versus just a job. Calling has more depth, has more meaning to it. It allows you to have a greater degree of fulfillment in your personal and your professional life. A calling requires that you look at things far more from a person perspective, from a people perspective, than from a transactional perspective. A job is a job. You go in and you just fulfill requirements and criteria from step A to step B to step C. And once the day is over, you fulfilled all of those requirements, you go home, you forget about it. A calling goes deeper, as I mentioned. A calling allows you to have fulfillment in what you've done. It allows you the opportunity to provide fulfillment for the people that you've worked with. So rethink your mindset so that you are also a constant encourager. People need constant positive encouragement. I want to share with you a story that occurred in our family this last fall. In the latter part of September, my brother and two sisters and our significant others and spouses were together down in Branson, Missouri for a nice long weekend. And on the first full day that we were there, my sister, my older sister, fell and broke her neck. After we all recovered from the initial trauma, from the initial of, I can't believe that this just happened, we're so grateful that she was alive and so grateful that she wasn't paralyzed, because both of those were very definite possibilities if the two vertebrae that fractured just a micromillimeter more. We would probably be talking about my sister instead of to her. So as we regrouped, we knew that there was a great challenge ahead of us in taking care of my sister. So we got her to the medical people that she needed to go to. Fortunately, Connie did not need surgery. I'm going to say all she needed was a rigid neck brace, but there was cognitive impairment, physical impairment, emotional impairment in her fear to walk, in her fear of falling, her concern about regaining her cognitive abilities back to what they were before she fell. There was a lot of apprehension and concern for the family as to how we were going to help Connie go through this path and this journey with her. We were determined to help her get back to what she was before, and maybe even better than she was before if we could. So Connie came to my home about 10 days after the accident, and I shifted my mindset first for my sister, because I was bound and determined not to let her be who she was before she fell. I was determined that once we came out on the other side of this, that she would be better, a lot better. I wanted so much for her. And what I needed to do was work with Connie in helping her change her mindset. A lot of her mindset in the past was reservation in doing things and going forward, challenging herself, pushing herself beyond her limits, pushing herself beyond her limits emotionally and physically. But when she came to my home, she was walking with a walker, and I gave her 2 days of walking with the walker. We started taking walks outside. I had her walking down steps with my help. And as we started the walks, there was this fear and apprehension I mean, real fear and real apprehension about falling. What she did, she stubbed her toe, fell forward, straight forward, with her head impacting the front door, a solid front door. And what it did is it whipped her head straight back, and that's how she fractured her vertebrae. So her fear was falling and hitting her head again. So every step was measured and calculated by her. It was calculated in shuffling versus walking. It was slow, precise. She was pretty rigid in how she was going to take her progress. But after the second day, you know, the first day she was huffing and puffing because there's a hill outside of our house that we had to go up. It was a small in-grade upgrade. And she looked at that and says, "I don't think I can do that." I said, "Connie, but you must." I said, "Since you fear that you can't, you must." So we walked, and she stopped and paused, and she was huffing and puffing. She was out of shape. She was mentally out of shape and emotionally out of shape and physically out of shape. I said, "Oh, Connie, but you must." Encouragement. So we got up to a certain point, and she paused, and I said, "Okay, you have 10 seconds. I knew she wanted longer. She looked at me like, "Don't you dare make me walk before I want to." I said, "Oh, Connie, but you must." So we made it up the hill progressively. It took us a while. And then when she paused, and we stayed there for about a minute, turned around and came back down. Now, when we came back down, it was downhill. And I said, "Connie, you cannot stop. You have to go all the way to the house." "Oh, but you must." She gave me a look, and she knew that she was going to have to. So we went at it slowly. We got down the hill, and life was good. Came into the house and finished up the evening. Next day, we went on the walk again. She kind of looked at me with hesitation of, "You're not going to make me do what we did yesterday." And I looked back at her, and I said, "Connie, but we must." She started up the hill, paused for only a second, and she kept going, paused again for only a couple of seconds, and kept going. And this time we went up around it. We went up around a little island this time and then came down. And she felt tired and fatigued when she got back, but she felt stronger emotionally. And the fact that she knew she could do it, and she was pushing herself beyond what she thought she could do. And that was different for Connie, because in the past, when she would push to a point and she started huffing and puffing or felt tired, she'd quit. But, "Oh, Connie, you must." So I was encouraging her, and I was giving her praise all along the way, because I knew that she was working mentally very hard, and I knew that she was working physically very hard. Although, you know, comparative to myself or other people walking normal, that wasn't the case. But for her at that point in time, that was. "Oh, Connie, but you must." The next day, the third day, we went out. The first 2 days were with her walker. The third day, we went out. We got down the two steps onto the sidewalk, ready to head out. And I said, "Connie, let me see your walker a second." I took her walker, folded it up, put it on the side of the house, and said, "Connie, today you're going without your walker." She says, "I can't." I looked at her in the eyes and said, "Connie, you must. Your future lies out there just ahead of you. Keep walking." She kind of had to learn how to rewalk again, because her walking habits in the past were not physiologically very good and very stable. You know, as simple as it seems, she was learning how to walk with her feet underneath her instead of with her feet pointed out and a little bit wider than it should be. So she was having to learn how to walk differently and walk with power and structure and strength. And what she was finding was that by doing this, her walking became easier. Kind of slow down to speed up, slow down to where we are able to use proper walking technique, proper leg patient motion and placement, pushing off our big toes, things that we take for granted as we're walking. But when you're relearning to walk effectively and to do it and keep your balance, the things that you have to pay attention to really become challenging and scary. So we went up the hill. She paused once without the walker. She was holding, I let her hold onto my arm gently. She couldn't use it as a brace or for me to kind of pull her along. She could only hold it gently. As we kept going, she was gaining more courage. She was gaining more confidence in knowing that she could do this. So we walked up to the top of the hill without stopping. We paused for maybe 5 seconds. We walked around the island, then came back down without stopping, got to the front door, and I high-fived her. We knuckled, gave her a hug, and I told her I was proud of her as I could be at that moment because she faced a challenge with courage, relentless perseverance, and she was not going to give up. She wasn't going to give in. So each day thereafter, it got progressively longer. We went up the hill and then down the hill to the other side, to the intersection, paused for a few moments, turned around, immediately came back up, which was a pretty steep hill, paused for a moment at a mailbox, and then walked down without stopping. Oh, Connie, you must. Encouragement. That's all she was needing was encouragement and reward. And the reward was my affirmation of her effort and her relentless pushing forward perseverance in learning to accomplish what she knew she needed to gain her independence so she could go back home. Because we wouldn't allow Connie to go back home until she could walk by herself confidently and be able to take a shower by herself. And those two were huge challenges. And we didn't know how long this was going to take. But after a few days, I sat down with Connie. I said, Connie, we need to set a date. We need to set a goal, a date that I will take you back down to Wichita so that you can get back amongst your friends and get back into your home and get back into your lifestyle. Knowing that there were going to be great limitations, she wasn't going to be able to drive. She wasn't going to be able to do a lot of things that she normally did, but she had a lot of good friends down there that would help take care of her, take her where she needs to go, get her over to the community center and her apartment complex to where all of the friends meet and where they do their games and their happy hours together and celebrate and share with each other. It was going to be a little bit different, but she needed to get back into that environment. Her friends needed her and she needed her friends. So I put it out about 3.5 weeks from that date that we were visiting. I said, November 1st, I'm going to drive you back down to Wichita. And I did that for a couple of reasons. Number one is that she had to set her mindset as to, I have to create my independence. I'm going to say that again, to where I have to create my independence and my ability to manage my life so that I can go back home. So every day it was, Connie, what are we going to do today? What do we need to talk through? What challenges do you perceive? What do you see that worries you, concerns you about going home? And then we broke it down and we worked through it and we walked through it and we talked through it and we got to the end of the day and it was a job well done. Affirming her, celebrating with her. And I could see things start to happen. Is that Connie's confidence was growing. Her self-esteem was growing. She was realizing that I can do this. I can get my independence back if I continue to work hard. If I don't let the fear paralyze my emotional thinking, and I don't let it paralyze my activity, I cannot stop. I cannot let worry and fear stop me from progressing and getting better every day. Connie, you must. It came down to 1 week before she was to go home, and Connie had made enormous progress. And so we sat down on that Monday morning about 9 o'clock, and we talked for 3 hours straight. And I had her identify any major concerns that she had about going home. And she shared with me 5 of them, and we addressed each 5. And I said, share with me what this one looks like. How does it feel to you? What do we need to talk through so that you feel confident that you can accomplish this in the next week and that you have confidence going forward when I leave you in Wichita? And so we spent 3 hours talking through each one of her 5 concerns. And by the end of the conversation, I could tell physiologically and structurally that Connie was more, I'm going to say, erect in her stature. She was sitting up better. She had a beam and energy to her face. Physically, she was walking so much better. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't shuffling. She wasn't protecting herself. She was learning how to get out and up out of chairs to where she could confidently do it without fear of falling forward and hitting her head. Just think about that. When you are having to relearn how to get out of a chair because you fear so much that you may fall forward and hit your head again and hyperextend your head and your neck and re-injure, and possibly that re-injury would be the one that could be catastrophic. She was looking that fear straight in the eyes and says, you are not going to stop me. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this because I must. Because John tells me I must. But I know I must. I own this. I own this. So we worked through that through the next week. And the day before we're to go home, I asked her if she was okay with it. At that point, she was excited to get down and see her friend. So off we took. Took her down to Wichita and spent 3 days down there with her, getting her reacclimated and getting all the financial and personal affairs in order and, you know, looking at the hospital bills and the ambulance bills and all those types of things and figuring out what needed to be done with them. Then I took off for home, and it was a very sad thing for me because my sister had been with me for 3.5 weeks, and, you know, I had gotten to know my sister better than I had in a good number of years. You know, when someone's with you for 3.5 weeks and you're talking about things so personal, you really get to know, whether it's a family member or otherwise, you get to know them well. And so I did. I really bonded with my sister, and it was sad for me to leave her, but I knew I must. If Connie was going to progress in this journey, I knew that I must. So I was constantly encouraging and giving Connie a praise. I was constantly feeding her confidence, trying to restore her self-esteem. And the thing that was happening is that we were changing her diet and we were increasing her exercise. And guess what? In that time frame, she lost 11 pounds. Good for her. Good for her. She realized that she could not afford to trip again. Therefore, she needed to change things about her life so that would significantly lessen the possibility of her tripping over her feet. Learning how to rewalk with confidence so that she lifted her feet instead of shuffling them. She's 74 years old, and now she's walking like a 54-year-old instead of walking like an 84-year-old. So very proud of her. And I've told her it's okay for her to really be proud of herself. And it's been really, really awesome watching her change and emerge from this. Remember, in the middle of the word encouragement is the word courage. Life is hard. Life is not easy. Life takes a lot of courage. It takes courage and vulnerability to step out and to constantly encourage others to never give up. It takes a lot of courage to encourage yourself to never give up. So for the remainder of 2023 and all of 24, let's embrace encouragement whenever and wherever you can with relentless perseverance. In every adversity lies an opportunity. Life is indeed hard, but also full of opportunities. The hardness of life allows us opportunities. Well, it's interesting. Connie had been down in Wichita for 2.5, almost 3 weeks, and she came back to us today, and we're going to get her up to Minnesota to spend the holiday season with her daughter in Minnesota. And the difference in Connie between when I left her 3 weeks ago and now, again, was an enormous leap for her. She's really slimming up. She's lost more weight. She's stayed with her diet. She's stayed with her exercises. She's doing chair aerobics. She has a daily journal that she's journaling in. She's doing things that she hasn't been able to do in quite some time. And good for her. Good for her. I'm proud of her. I'm really kind of anxious for her to get up to Minnesota. And she'll come back in between Christmas and New Year's for me to see her at that point, see the progress that she's made. I know for sure that there will be significant change here in that time, in her, in that time frame, because Connie has made the commitment. She's going to be relentless with her perseverance and her commitment level in getting better and better than what she was before she had the accident. So in 2024, I encourage yourself. I encourage you to encourage others. Be extremely perseverant in all the major ways of your life. How can you approach your dentistry as a calling versus a job? Look at transforming or transitioning your practice from transactional to transformational, which offers a great level of fulfillment, not only for you personally and professionally, but for your patients and the people around you. And it can start simply by saying thank you. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving week and the holiday coming after that. I'm going to be doing more monologues in the month of December. There are just some things I want to share with you. Recap 2023. Set our sights for 2024. There's going to be a lot of fun and exciting things that are going to be happening with myself and a friend of mine. We're going to be starting a Midwest Dental Mastermind group. And we're going to help anybody in business and or dentistry develop exceptional communication skills and leadership skills that will allow you the opportunity to make choices that are really in alignment with your purpose and help create a higher degree of fulfillment in your life moving forward. So once again, I thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to me share this message. I hope you get something from it. I will share with you as we go through the month of December and into January, the progress of my sister. I'm very encouraged for her, and I'm very grateful that she didn't suffer more seriously than she did. I am so thankful for that. That's my Thanksgiving thankful, thank you, God, item, is that my sister survived that fall. My other thankful is, and thank you, is for you listening to me. And knowing that you have the opportunities that lie ahead of you, just take a moment and pause and say thank you and move forward with courage. Happy Thanksgiving. This is Dr. John. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more Fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.